Open office plans are everywhere. There are no walls or cubicles or private offices, and they're supposed to encourage open communication and collaboration. But according to some new research, they don't always work that way. Joining us now is Ethan Bernstein, who's an associate professor at Harvard Business School and co-author with Stephen Turbin of the study The Impact of Open Workspace on Human Collaboration. Ethan, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here, Jeremy.
Now, I feel like I have worked in an open office plan office for at least 10 years at this point. How common are they?
They're very common. They've gone through ebbs and flows over the history of time. They were very, very popular, say, in the 60s and 70s. They got a little bit less popular after that. And then with the openness movement of the last couple of decades, they've gotten very popular.
What do you mean the openness movement?
Well, I think some point in the 90s, the word transparency went from meaning something literally just see-through to being able to see all sorts of things. It didn't really matter per se that I could see through a glass of water. Maybe it wasn't water. Maybe it was acid. Maybe it was something smelly. We wanted all of that information, and we wanted to be able to see it with our own eyes, not just see it, see through it.
Even in an office, you want to be able to see everything that everybody is doing.
Well, at least part of the logic behind open offices stood with the idea that if I could see the people that I wanted to collaborate with, I would collaborate with them more. I would interact with them more. Of course, the other reality is if you can see the people, you're also probably in closer quarters. So there was a cost per square foot justification,
right,
too.
It's got to be a lot cheaper, and you don't have to put up all those walls in between people. You just put a bunch of cubes in the middle of a room, and everybody, you know, can see each other, and they're all very close to each other.
And then when those cubes become too big, then you take the cubes away, you give them straight open tables, and you can put even more people in a small amount of space.
No, we were just recently in a brand new building in New York City in the Hudson Yards project, and there's an office there where, just as you say, there are desks, lines of desks, rows of desks, no walls in between anybody.
Exactly.
Looks kind of miserable, I have to say.
Well, you know, part of the reason we did this study, I find both sides of this debate equally compelling. Mm. On the one hand, it looks kind of miserable to somebody who would like to have some private space to get their work done. On the other hand, we have this image of the vibrancy of human interaction that takes place when you can just reach out and touch someone, literally, and talk to them. And so I think that was why we wanted to do this, wanted to see if it actually happens or not.
So how did you do your study to figure out how open office spaces work?
We picked a couple of companies, Fortune 500 companies, who were going through the move from cubicles to these really open spaces. And we picked them in part because we thought they were representative of at least a lot of the folks who might be listening to the show who work out there in a Fortune 500 company headquarters. And we instrumented each person with a badge, and these badges have sensors in them. And with those sensors, we were able to track face-to-face interaction. Add to that the fact that these days anybody, quite frankly, can track email and IM interaction because that's all stored, those sort of digital breadcrumbs that get spread as we do anything to these days. And we were able to see the volume of interaction between the people in these corporate headquarters both before and after the move.
Just to see if they're collaborating with each other more than they were before.
We just, in this case, were interested in measuring volume of interaction.
So what did you find?
We found in both cases, it was actually striking how much the two were similar. The amount of face-to-face interaction dropped by about 70% and was replaced with interaction over email and IM.
So people were not actually interacting face-to-face as much as they were before.
No, these vibrant images that we have of all being together in one room were replaced by people putting on headphones like the ones you're wearing right now,
right,
focusing at their computer because, quite frankly, everyone around them can see them, so they want to look like they're intently working.
Right.
And then Jeremy looks over at Ethan and says, well, he's got headphones on. He
I'm
looks pretty intent.
Him.
I'm not going to bother him, or the five people around him might have to bother to interact.
So you might send an email to the person who's sitting right in front of you.
Yeah, or I'll just send an email to him instead. And I know Jeremy's at his computer, so he'll get it.
So that seems like a failure of the design.
Well, it was an unintended consequence. I am in the
you're not going to describe it one way or the other.
I'm an academic. I'm in the world of trying to find interesting twists and unintended consequences of human behavior based on the ways in which we work. So it was an unintended consequence. It could be good. Maybe actually that's a really effective way of my communicating with Jeremy. Maybe for that matter, I shouldn't be communicating with Jeremy at all just because he's close to me. I should be emailing the person with real expertise across the globe who has a good answer to my question, not just a convenient one.
Or I should be working from home. because why bother sitting in this room in these tight quarters when I'm not actually going to talk to anybody who's next to me?
Well, and this is a field where architects, managers, property managers, they've done a lot of work. And most of them will tell you that their studies show that when you go to a more open office, that's exactly what people do. More people work from home more often.
Did you find out how much people like or dislike this model?
We didn't look at satisfaction. You know, the studies I mentioned, the time back in the 70s and 80s, there were lots of studies done of employee satisfaction, of employee stress, other self-reported measures as a result of moving to open space. We were interested in the contemporary age, gee, if we could actually gather the data on whether people interact, we could get away from the satisfaction metric and towards something that seemed more real. And so in this case, we didn't focus on that or even ask that question.
What about people who are in traditional offices? If you walk into an office space and there are doors and there are walls and this person has this office and this person has that office, do we have any sense of how much those people collaborate with each other?
Well, you know, that's imperfect too. Let's face it. You don't know when people are available, not available. There's an open door policy, quote unquote.
Right.
But oftentimes doors aren't open.
Well, and whenever a door is closed, you're not going to knock on it unless it's an emergency, you're not going to knock on it to bother the person. You wait for them to open the door.
You wait for, heaven forbid, a meeting. And we don't have enough of those these days in corporate America.
Right.
So all I can say is this. We actually, Stephen and I didn't do this study with the intent of saying we should all go back to those days.
Mm-hmm.
Only to ask the question, as we've made progress towards this more and more quote-unquote open environment at work, is there a point at which we can go too far? And I'm not saying we've gone too far, but what we're saying is we might have gone too far if what we were trying to do is get more interaction. If all we were trying to do is save cost per square foot, or if all we were trying to do is get people to send more emails, then by all means, keep going.
What's your office like at the Harvard Business School?
We haven't redone those offices in a while, so I have a traditional
closed office. You have an old school office.
I have an old school office.
At a very old school.
At a very old school, right. 1908, yes.
Right, right. And how do you like it?
I love it for getting certain kinds of work done, and I don't love it for getting other kinds of work done. It's interesting. Once upon a time at HBS, faculty used to rotate offices almost every year with the idea that we would create flow between people who otherwise haven't or won't interact. And we don't do that as much anymore. I think it got both cumbersome and probably, quite frankly, expensive. But some of that I miss. I miss the awareness I would have of who's around, who I might be able to chat with about research, that I would have if we had more open space. So there's advantages and disadvantages.
How much do you think the design of an office has to do with the productivity of that office? Is it about the way things are laid out, or is it about the people that you're bringing in and the ideas that they have?
I think my favorite part of having written and published this article now is that so many interesting people have reached out to me to talk to me about it and about their own experiences and their own research on this topic. There are lots and lots of thoughtful people out there, including the managers and executives who invest a lot of money in the office environments in which their people work. I think the answer to your question is, in part, up till now, there was an expectation that I could have my cake and eat it too, that cost per square foot went down,
mm-hmm.
and that interaction and collaboration went up. And so why wouldn't I do this? And so without the fear, or at least understanding that there might be a trade-off, people have been just going straight ahead.
I think of some of the most innovative companies in this country, at least the famous ones, out in Silicon Valley, Google, Facebook, places like that. They do have these open offices for the most part.
They do.
A lot of interaction.
Well, so that's the question.
Okay.
I won't mention the company, but I did have three managers from a technology firm in that part of the country in my office. And one of them said, we don't have this problem. We figured out the open office a long time ago. And the colleague of his sitting right next to him said, well, actually, in my part of the company at least, if you listen for the interaction, you hear it all in the meeting rooms. You hear it all in the group spaces. You don't hear it in the open spaces. Mm. That doesn't mean that those open spaces are ineffective. That might be exactly the way we want to work. We want to have cramped space where we're aware of who's there. Then we want to grab people, move them to a space in which we're comfortable having a conversation. And then we might work from home when we really need to do our individual work. And that mixture is the kind of thing architects are trying to work with property managers on. But that's really complex.
at the Here and Now office, we have an open office plan, but we now have a little room with a door that closes that we can go into. And there are people in that room almost all day long. There are people having little tiny meetings in that room. I think personally, it's been really helpful to have that additional layer of privacy when you need it. Sometimes you do. You don't want to have a conversation and have everybody jumping in with their thoughts.
And notice the difference between that and your question about individual offices. Individual offices provide individual privacy. Mm-hmm. That provides group level privacy. Mm-hmm. And I find the same thing to be true in the context in which I've worked. Interestingly, I have another study that was just published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences with Jesse Shore and David Lazar. And we find that if you're in a complex problem-solving task, that constant interaction and no interaction are not as good as intermittent interaction, the kind of interaction we have when we do exactly what you just described.
That's Ethan Bernstein, who is an associate professor at Harvard Business School. We'll link you to more of his research at hereandnow.org. Ethan, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And while you're at hereandnow.org, let us know what you think about open office plans. I'm sure you've got thoughts on it. Hereandnow.org.